and Reverend Smith, and to all of the officers and members of the Mount Olive Church, and especially to our visitors who are sharing with us on this morning. I must say that God is good, and His mercy endures forever. This morning, as we make ready to partake of the Lord's Supper, we have come together in unity, and we've come together supposedly to fellowship with one mind and one purpose, and that is to remember what Christ has done for us back on Calvary. And not only remember that, but remember that one day He's coming again. And so no matter what you may be going through, always remember that one day Christ is coming back, and He's going to receive us unto Himself. And in that day, we won't have to worry about sorrow, heartaches, or any other thing, because we will have perfect peace, perfect joy, no heartaches, no sickness, suffering, or pain. But we'll be just like the Lord. Amen. But in the meantime, we got to struggle in these fleshly bodies. Amen. And depend on His power, depend on His strength. Turn with me now, if you will, in your Bibles to Psalm number 133. Psalm 133. And amen, the 133rd number of the psalm. We all remember that the psalm is the only book in the Bible that doesn't have chapters, because it's songs and stanzas. It's not chapters. It is numbers. We read begin at verse number 1, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commands the blessings, life forevermore. The grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." For a few moments as we assemble today, I won't talk from the thought, hanging together or separately. Hanging together or separately. Let me begin by saying that our Lord's greatest desire for the church is that for us to become one with one another. We will notice that in His priestly prayer in John 17:11, He prayed, "Now I am no longer in the world." He said, but these, talking about His disciples who were precursor of the church, are in the world. He said, "Holy Father, keep through Your name those whom You have given Me, that they may be one as We are one." Now, Jesus said this because He knew that our enemy, the devil, is in the world, and he's in the world to bring about discord in the fellowship of the Lord's people. And one of His main tactics is to divide and conquer. And that's why Jesus said one day that a house that is divided against itself will not stand. And my brothers and sisters, this means your house, my house, the church house, or any other house that is divided against itself will not stand. And so as we consider our text, we note that the theme of this psalm is the blessedness, is the blessed unity of God's people. And now, in this context, dwelling together in unity refers to the relationship among the Jews as they worshiped at Mount Zion. But when referring to Christians today, this unity includes all people all over the world who are believers in Christ. It says to us, in essence, as Christians, we are to live out we are not to live out our faith in isolation, but in fellowship and unity with one another. Meaning the Lord Jesus wants his followers to be unified as a powerful witness to the realities of God's everlasting love. And that's why the Hebrew writer writes in Hebrew 10 and 25, he says, and let us not neglect the meeting together. And that meeting together means in Sunday school, worship, Bible study, and the like, as some other folk do. He said, but we are to come together to encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And so the question is, as an individual believer in Christ, are you helping to unify the body of Christ, or are you being sidetracked by division and strife? Because a lack of unity among God's people actually weakens the church, it grieves the Holy Spirit, and it hurts the testimony of the Lord. Now, you may not believe this, but the unsaved community rejoices when they hear about church fights, when they hear about church splits. Because my brothers and sisters, this type of news of disunity among God's people only give them one more excuse for not taking the gospel of Christ seriously. Because if we are acting no different than they do, and yet we say we have been changed, we've been born again, where is the evidence? And that's why Paul told the Christian church, yes, Lord, at Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 through 3, he said, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you. Yes, Lord, as spiritual people, he said, I had to talk to you as you were infants, as you were babies in the Christian life. He said, I had to feed you milk and not with solid food because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you're still not ready, for you're controlled by your sinful nature and not the Holy Spirit. How do I know this? He said, you are jealous of one another and you quarrel with one another. Them that prove that you are carnal and ruled by your sinful nature. But however, as we continue to move toward the text, know that the will that according to Jewish history, we're told that three times a year, all Jewish men were expected to go to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. Feast of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. It is said that this was a joyful occasion as they journeyed to the holy city. It is no doubt that the holiday atmosphere contributed to their sense of brotherhood and unity. But the author of this psalm wanted something else. He didn't just want an occasional unity among God's people as they came together to celebrate the feast, but rather that they dwell or live together in unity. Because it's easy for us to tolerate somebody you don't like for a few hours on Sunday morning and not have anything to do with them for the rest of the week, other than when you are in church. And that's why as Christians we need to understand the difference between unity and uniformity. Because David knew that there was a great difference between unity and uniformity, and we must all remember that distinction. Because the text shows that unity comes from a life that is within, while uniformity is a result of power and pressures from without. And that's why uniformity is brittle and can be easily destroyed, while true unity is strong and enduring. Because uniformity leaves no room for honest differences, while true unity recognizes the diversity of individuals and is stronger because of it. And so knowing this, David wanted something deeper than an occasional unity among God's people as they made their way to the holy city. He wanted them to dwell together in unity. And so he began this psalm by saying, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Because he understood that it's one thing, again, to travel with someone you may not particularly like or even come together with them a couple of times a year, but it's quite something else to dwell or to live together with them in unity. And so before I take my seat, there are about three things I want to raise in your hearing from the text to help encourage unity in our fellowship and in our relationship with one another before I take my seat. Well, number one, remember, we need to remember that we are members of the same family. And you know what? One might expect brothers and sisters to be able to easily get along with each other. But you know, that's not always the case, because the first murder recorded in biblical history involved two brothers when Cain killed Abel. Then Moses had problems with his brother and sister Aaron and Miriam. Joseph's brothers hated him so much that in order to get rid of him, they sold him into slavery. And so many times, even blood brothers and sisters cannot live together in harmony and unity. And so instead of hanging together, they hang separately. And in the same way in the church, you would expect Christian brothers and sisters who are born again by the same Holy Spirit, belong to the same Christian family, the family of God, to be able to dwell together in Christian unity. But again, that's not always the case, because there are a whole lot of folk in the body of Christ who just live to make a good impression on others, or just to please themselves, which will only bring about discord and a lack of unity. But still, you would expect God's people to dwell together, yes, in unity and not separately, because we share the same divine nature and we are supposed to be headed for the same heavenly home, and we call the same God our Father, and we think of ourselves as brothers and sisters. But we need to understand that as individuals, we may have our differences and even some disagreements, but my brothers and sisters, I stop by to tell us that the things that we have in common far outweigh all of our differences and individualities. And that's why we are to hang together and not separately. We have to do this by promoting unity and not discord in the fellowship of the church. But to do this, we must remember that we are members of the same family. And then secondly, we must remember that spiritual unity comes down from God. My brothers and sisters, true unity isn't something that we can manufacture or work up ourselves, but spiritual unity comes from above, while on the other hand, uniformity comes from pressure from without. And so it's not too difficult to establish uniformity. But true unity comes from above and from within. For instance, the choir can be dressed in the same colors. The deacons dressed in their black suits, and the deaconess dressed in their white dresses, and the ushers all dressed alike in the same type of uniform, and still there can be division and strife in the church. Because even though we may have uniformity, it doesn't mean that true unity is abiding in our midst. Because true unity comes from above, and it is really a spiritual miracle. And so in the text, David uses two illustrations, yes, to get this point across. Now, the first illustration has to do with the anointing oil of the high priest, with the special oil of anointing during his ordination. nation. Now the oil is a symbol of the Spirit of God who has been poured out on God's people. And so David says in verse 2, it is like the precious oil upon the head, yes, Lord, running down on the beard, a beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. Notice the will that the psalmist make it clear that the anointing oil ran down Aaron, the high priest's beard, and from there it must have run down to the ephod, which was a vest that he wore over his heart. Now on that ephod was 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And so as the anointing oil ran down Aaron's beard and down his chest and bathed those 12 stones, they became united as one. But note, if you will, that the stones didn't lose their individual distinction. They were simply united as one by the anointing oil. My brothers and sisters, in the same way, when we allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives by the Spirit's anointing, he will bring us into a deeper sense of spiritual unity. And just like those 12 stones, we too are united by one Spirit, and that is the Spirit of God. But still, we do not lose our individual personalities, as often happens with imposed uniformity. Rather, our purpose become one heart, one mind, and one spirit. And so David says in plain and simple terms in verse 1 and 2, he says, it's truly wonderful when God's people live together in peace. It is as beautiful as the olive oil poured on Aaron's head, running down his beard and the collar of his robe. Now the second illustration David uses come from the world of weather. Note verse 3 says, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the Mount of Zion. Now Mount Hermon is about 9,000 feet high. And when the dew falls from Mount Hermon, it's like rain upon the fields below. And the result is both beauty and fruitfulness. But know that you will that neither the oil or the dew is noisy, for they both symbolize the Holy Spirit as he graciously works among God's people. But still the oil and the dew will come down because both are sent from God. And that's why spiritual unity is not attained by special meetings of fervent activity. But true unity comes quietly when we allow the Holy Spirit to control and work in our lives. And so David declared, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down the edges of his garment. And so unity is like the dew of Hermon descending on the mountain of Zion. Therefore, we are to hang together and not separately. We must remember that we are of the same family and that spiritual unity come down from God. Well, finally, if we are to hang together and not separately, we got to remember that spiritual unity is practical. Remember the text says that unity like dew is pleasant, and like the anointing oil, it unifies. And that's why as Christians, we should desire unity in the Lord, not so that we can satisfy or enjoy it for ourselves, but so that we can better serve the Lord Lord and one another. And so we know verse 3 goes on to say that there the Lord commands his blessings forevermore. Whether the Lord commands his blessing, well, the text says, wherever he saw the dew and the oil. And in the same way, if we allow the Spirit and the dew of the oil of the Spirit and the dew of the Spirit to bring unity in our lives as well as our ministries, I tell you, God's blessings will surely follow. And so as I try to move to the close, let me say to us that as children of God, we must strive for unity in the body of Christ, meaning we got to hang together and not separately, by remembering that we are members of the same family, and that is the family of God. We must remember that true unity, a spiritual unity, come down from God. And that spiritual unity is practical. Because where there's unity, there are the blessings of the Lord. Where there is unity, there the blessings of the Lord will flow into and on our lives. Yeah. And so when we come together this morning to partake of the Lord's Supper, yes, we should be assembled with one mind, yes, and one purpose, and that is to commemorate the Lord's death that brought that he died for our sins, and we are to remember, yes, Lord, his resurrection, which is for our justification, and we are to remember his ultimate return, yes, because my brothers and my sisters, the gospel tells us that one Friday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus, he became our peace, and he became our unifier. When he reached down and reconciled man to man, and he reached up and reconciled man to God, and then he died that we might live. But I'm so glad that the story didn't end on Calvary, because after 3 days in the grave, somewhere between 12 midnight and early Sunday morning, Jesus got up from the grave with all power and heaven and earth in his hand. And God, all right. And so my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I dare not trust in the sweetest frame, but I'm a wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Ain't God all right? One of these old days, I don't know when, that same Jesus, he's coming back again. I don't know about you, but when he called my name, I will answer, yeah.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
know. Prayer genius being holding out from the stormy Lord, Lord, rain and sea. Lord, you're lifting.
Not an hour, another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. Not another second. Another minute, not an hour of another day, but Lord, I need you right away. If I never needed you before to show up and restore all of the faith that I left slip while I was yet searching the world for more, the truest friend I have indeed. You're my best friend, I know in need. I stretch my hands to thee. Me strong, the feelings of guilt, hurt, shame, and defeat, the waves of trials that beat upon me. But to know, Lord, that in you I've got victory. I need you now. Not another minute, Lord. Can't wait another day, oh, oh, Lord. Please make a way. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Mm-hmm.
in my soul.
I feel that, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. I'm thirsty. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K250.